Good afternoon and welcome to MoneyWeb at Midday with myself, Nastasia Arantzis. Just gone 12 o'clock on the dot. Coming up on the show, we're going to be checking in on how the markets are doing and also looking back at the week that was. There were plenty of results out of Woolworths, Amplat, Curro, Discovery, JSE. An absolutely busy week on the JSE, and we'll also touch a little bit on the budget, and that will be with Pietri Riedeling-Hayes from Herenia Capital. And then we're also going to be talking to the CEO of Distell, that's Richard Rushton, and that's because the company published their interim numbers and they saw exceptional brandy volume growth, which continues at 13.7%. And they are concerned about, of course, the Western Cape drought that's driving up grape prices, etc. But we're going to be talking to Richard about all of that after this break.
MoneyWeb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors through our Click and Advisor offering. Advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. Get everything you need to know by joining our free webinar on February the 27th at 11 a.m. Go to www.moneyweb.co.za to secure your spot.
Welcome back to MoneyWeb at Midday, and I'm joined on the line by Richard Rushton, who is the CEO of Distell. Richard, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Nastasia. Good afternoon.
So you published your numbers on SENS this morning. Take me through the 6 months that was for Distell.
Yeah, so pretty pleased with our performance. We delivered commendable top-line growth of 9.3% in revenue, and that was off the back of just under 4% in volume terms. And we achieved growth in all three of our key categories, wine, spirits, and ready-to-drink brands. 12 of our top 15 brands are in strong double-digit revenue growth, so pleased with that. And then in the face of a pretty tough local economy and intensifying competition, we delivered, again, growth in all three categories, and we defended our competitive position very well. So, yeah, altogether quite pleased with the performance.
All right. Before we touch on the Africa operations and the markets there, a lot of the CEOs, especially the ones who've published their results, say on the day of the budget or post, the inauguration of Cyril Ramaphosa as the president, everybody is, optimistic about where the economy is going, and they're all looking forward to the plans that government may have. How does Distell fit into this new dawn, as it's been described? Are you optimistic that business confidence and consumer confidence will start to pick up?
Yeah, Anastasia, I think in the medium term, unquestionably, there's the winds of change are blowing positively, and we believe that's going to reflect on consumer and business sentiment and business confidence, and that in turn is going to, we think, results in renewed economic activity. And for us, with our portfolio of brands, particularly our cider brands at the premium end, that can only be good news, beneficial for our business. So, yeah, altogether, optimistic. I think in the short term, obviously, with a VAT increase and with higher than inflation excise increases, things will be tough for a while, but we look forward to much better times in the medium term.
All right. When it comes to the African markets, you say African markets outside of South Africa delivered revenue growth of 18.5%. What drove that performance?
Nastasia, primarily the first-time inclusion of two new businesses. Qual, our business in Kenya, was consolidated into our results for the first time, and that business performed exceptionally well. It's off a small base still, but top-line volume and revenue growth and margin advancement was impressive in that business. So that's obviously benefited our African performance. And then we also saw the first-time inclusion of Best Global Brands in our business. And this is a scale spirits brand sold primarily in Angola, Nigeria. And that business also performed just marginally ahead of our expectations and contributed very favorably to the overall African performance. Mm.
What are the trading conditions like in Mozambique and Nigeria?
Yeah, I think still tough. I think obviously we see better commodity prices starting to filter through. I think in Nigeria, liquidity has loosened up a little. But yeah, that economic conditions still pretty challenging. A slow turnaround is predicted there. So yeah, but you know, being such a large economy, an important beverage market for us, we optimistic about the 3 to 5 year game in Nigeria. And then Mozambique, also challenging, but nonetheless, you know, a large economy, a growing economy, with important infrastructure and gas projects coming off again. We have good reason to be optimistic about prospects there.
Let's talk about the drought in the Western Cape. And I can imagine, you know, it's been a really tough time for yourself and those who are in your industry. How do you see it affecting the next 6 months? Have you rolled out, secured or sufficient supply for the next 6 months to mitigate against any risks?
Yeah, so I think there are a few effects. So firstly, just to say that we've been busy with the water reduction and water sustainability initiatives for a long time. And in fact, before the recent measures announced to reduce groundwater use by 45%, our water reduction, we have also moved more production up to Gauteng as a consequence of the drought. We're also working with our farmers. They're incredibly important to us. We've obviously raised prices for grapes. The yields and the harvest is lower, but we've covered a large proportion of our requirement for next year, yes, at higher prices. And, you know, I think we're all getting used to the new norm, which is going to mean lower water usage, perhaps more production out of other parts of the country than was historically the case, and then working closely with our supply base, particularly the wine farmers, to assure ourselves of continuity of supply and yield per ton going up for farmers in the medium term.
Okay.
In the short term, it's going to be tough, you know, because grape prices are going to filter through to wine prices, unfortunately.
In your SEN statement, you say that the group has largely integrated its new African route to market acquisitions. And I'm curious, when you're sitting with your team and your board and you're looking at new opportunities, what ticks the box for you and gets you excited?
Yeah, well, I would say firstly, we look to the underlying fundamentals of the economy that we are competing in. And of course, we look at the beverage category and how much potential there is for growth as critical enablers. And then we believe that building local brands and local supply chains is going to be the route to our success in these economies. And so Kenya would be a great example where we've acquired a position in a business, starting with a minority. Then we acquired a majority position. We've deployed some management into the business and we're starting to build and invest in people and in the supply chains and in the local brands there and in the route to market, particularly selling and distribution. And, you know, those are sort of the key elements we'd always look to build out our position. So we do the same with best global brands in Angola and Nigeria. And those three economies are very important African markets for...
Richard? I assume we have some technical issues with Richard Rushton, the CEO of Distell. We're going to see if we're going to try and get him back on the line. I wanted to touch on the restructuring that is expected to occur in April 2018, but I think we are still trying to get him back on the line. So the reason we want to talk about the restructuring is that they mention in their SEN statement that a new entity, which is Distell Group Holdings, will effectively acquire RCI and all other shareholders. Richard, are you back on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry, we had a technical issue. If you could just pick up from where you left off, I think we lost you there a little.
Yeah, just to say that, you know, then we would look to the route to market, particularly sales and distribution in those larger economies, and build out routes to market, sales, distribution, trade marketing in particular, to complement the local brands. And those are the kind of things that we believe are important to build out platforms and positions in Africa.
We were actually talking while we had this disconnection. I was telling the listeners about the restructuring that's expected to occur in April of this year. Tell me about all of that and perhaps even give me some background in terms of what exactly is supposed to happen with Distell Group and the Distell that will be delisted?
Yes, so essentially what happens is our shareholders have approved the collapse of the Capefin holding structure. And as a result of that, the old Distell will be relisted as New Distell. It will still, to all intents and purposes, be the same company, except that with the collapse of the Capefin holding structure, our free floats doubles to about 37.5%. This, of course, will give us access to tracker funds and further investment interest in Distell share. It will eliminate some of the discounts and perhaps some of the complexity associated with managing a holding structure of that nature, and all in all provide investors with much easier liquidity and ease of entry into the Distell business. So those are essentially the reasons why shareholders have overwhelmingly voted in favour of the collapse of the structure, and we hope that that process will be completed perhaps at the end of April. It is with competition authorities and two countries, and we anticipate that once that process is done, that we'll proceed with the listing of New Distell.
All right, Richard, thank you so much for your time, and all the best for the next 6 months. That's Richard Rushton, who is the CEO of Distell. We're going to take a quick break and then check in on the markets. It's 11 minutes after 12, and joining me on the line is Pietri Riedelinghuis, who's from Herenia Capital. Pietri, thank you so much for your time. So how are the markets doing at this point? Can you hear me, Pietri? We seem to be having, a glitch somewhere, gremlins in the telephone system.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Continue talking. I think the signal slowly picked up.
So I think we've got a tough week sort of behind us. Friday, sort of marked the end of the week. We had a fairly decent day on Wednesday that the market rallied pretty hard. But keeping in mind that Monday and Tuesday were both very difficult days for the market, we're still sort of below where we started, where we ended last week. So, you know, we are down. I think that what it feels like to me is that the market is sort of coming to a bit of a resolution now, and that we might be gearing up for a little bit of a relief rally, or maybe just a continuation of the upward trend going into next week and the weeks that follow on to that. We've seen, of course, with the budget speech happening on Wednesday, that there was a very large reaction from the financial stocks as well as some of the retailers. Now, there's been a mix and match of results here and there. Particularly Mass Market came out and had a very good performance on Thursday on the back of what was basically an increased dividend. And we're also lifting a little bit. Their results not as good. They're struggling a lot with David Jones in Australia. It seems that they've made a couple of over ambitious moves, I think, as many South African companies do that go into the offshore market. I don't quite realize how tough it is actually to operate and compete in such developed markets. So, but nonetheless, and besides the sore ships we've had, what I think was a very positively received budget from Minister Madusi Tigaba on Wednesday. And then I think it's changed a little bit of the sentiment.
Pietri, we're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. We seem to be having technical issues with our phone lines, and that audio is not coming through clearly. We apologize for that, but we definitely will get it fixed. That's Pietri Riedelinghuis from Herenia Capital, who was taking us through the market performance at the stage. You can tune in later on the SAFM market update with Dumisang Ndlovu, who's standing in for me, and we'll do a wrap-up on how the markets are performing with Wayne Makari from Ashburton Investments. That's it from me, Nastasia Arantzer. But before that, here's a quick ad from Psyche.
Numerology studies tell us that numbers have symbolic meaning. Number 8 stands for success, 4 is stability, and 3 represents advantage. These qualities, over and above trust, ethics, and leadership, are embraced by CASA, the leading accounting, auditing, and tax business designation, underpinned by ethical standards, delivering responsible business leadership to take your business to number 1. Because business is more than just numbers. CASA, leaders in business.
That's it from me, Nastasia Aronsa. Until next time, goodbye.